podcasts. It's like radio, but it's not on the radio.
Hogan Johns.
We will be perfect.
Obsession.
In every aspect of the game.
Being obsessed.
Low snap, but Foles comes away with it. Look out from behind, and down he goes at the 25-yard line. With the pick.
WGN Radio's very own Adam Hope.
I'm sorry, I don't know what just happened.
Dissolve? What's dissolve? Is that even a word?
And the Chicago Sun-Times, Adam Johns.
Problem is, we suck.
We do not suck.
Bring you Chicago's best Bears coverage.
Trubisky stepping up, fires down the sideline. Robinson makes the catch, but a flag is down. It's ruled a touchdown, but there's a flag down. Bowles sidearms it, and it will be caught for the touchdown by Golden Tate. And, oh, he hits the upright again. That's impossible.
Obsession.
My, oh, my.
Being obsessed.
And now, here they are.
Perfection.
The Adams.
Yeah, baby.
Hogan Johns.
That just happened.
Amazingly, that did just happen. I kind of think this podcast should just start with like 30 seconds of silence, because just kind of speechless here at Soldier Field.
And that's a great way to put it. I think everybody was stunned. I was stunned. Six times Cody Parkey has hit the uprights this season. And yes, it looks like it may have been tipped, but just an unbelievable finish. Heartbreaking in a sense for the Bears, absolutely. But the way it happened, man, silence.
Well, it is stunning, and I kind of had this feeling sitting in the press box, kind of overlooking the stadium and soaking it in. I happened to be at the 2003 wild card, not wild card, the 2003 NLCS Game 7 that the Cubs lost to the Marlins, where it was just sort of like a funeral inside the building at the end, and not people weren't really in a rush to get out and beat traffic. They were just kind of sitting there.
Yeah.
Like, what?
But that's the game Michael Jordan was afraid to leave the building. Was it not?
Well, I think Cody Parkey maybe felt the same way tonight. That's just kind of how it felt for me. And we talked about it. And it was like it was sort of joked about, I feel like, by a lot of people. Like, oh, what if it ends on a Cody Parkey missed field goal? Wow, it got taken to another level with a double doink. But that was an absolutely fair point to bring up throughout this week. If you had doubts about this game, and I've been saying it for weeks, the biggest weakness by far on this team going into the playoffs was the kicker. And in the end, it's, as much as I hate to admit it, kind of fitting. That's how the season ended, with a doink.
Fair, yet still surreal.
Well, it doesn't feel fair because the rest of the team was pretty good.
Yes, yes. And look, you like seeing Kyle Fuller and Charles Leno walk up there and give him a high five, whatever. He missed a field goal that would have put the Bears in the divisional round. A lot of guys on the Bears football team, yes, it was ugly at times, but they still played well enough to win up until 10 seconds remaining in this ballgame. And it didn't. It wasn't meant to be. It's really what it was.
Yeah, now we should mention, if you haven't seen it, it looks like Trayvon Hester tipped the kick. And I have a feeling for a lot of people that might be the first time you're hearing that right now, because that was not obvious. It was not shown on the broadcast, and it seems like some people on Twitter just sort of slowed it down frame by frame. Really, what started is Trayvon Hester, I guess, was bragging about it in the locker room on the Eagles side of things. We, of course, were in the Bears locker
room. A reporter took a picture of his left hand.
Yeah, and I was like, okay, it caught me off guard, but there are videos on Twitter. I'm looking at one right now, slowed down frame by frame, where it looks like the trajectory of the ball is just slightly changed. And the amazing thing about that is Cody Parkey, when we talked to him, obviously had no idea that it was tipped, because he was flabbergasted, it seemed like. He thought he hit a good ball. He played the wind left to right, and he thought that it was going to move back to the right, and it just didn't. And he didn't seem to understand why it didn't. Well, maybe just that much of a tip explains it, because the ball does sort of change its rotation a little bit after it appears to be tipped.
I watched the frame-by-frame slow-motion replay of that. Someone put it online on Twitter. It's so instantaneous now. I forget who.
It's on my Twitter feed. I retweeted it at this point if you want to
check it out.
Go find it.
You have to check it out. I watched it 7 times, and maybe 5 out of the 7. I'm like, oh, he tipped it. Maybe 2 out of the 7. I'm like, oh, I don't know.
Yeah.
So majority wins for me, at least in my observation there. The trajectory does seem to change. The spin of the ball, I should say.
Well, the ball was at plenty of distance anyway. But what I'm talking about is this makes sense to me, because Parkey didn't seem to understand why the ball didn't come back to the right. And just a tiny tip like that could affect that.
To hit the upright
twice.
In the crossbar, right? Hit the crossbar. Well,
Robbie Gould said this last a couple weeks when we had that conference call with them. He felt bad for Kobe to hit the upright as many times as he has and not to have one bounce in.
It's what I mean.
It's amazing.
How many times do you see during the regular season where you hear a Chris Berman highlight? I know he's not doing what he did in the past anymore, but it hits the upright and goes in. Did not happen this year for Cody Parkey. At least this one. It went upright, crossbar, bounced out. What a ricochet. Just awful luck. But I guess you give the Eagles a bit of credit there. I mean, you have to, right? Because it appears. And why would he lie about that anyway, Hester? Why would he? There's no point in him lying. There's no point in reporters taking pictures of his hand if it's all a farce. But so give them credit. They got the hands on the football in the most important moment of the game.
Yeah, can't wait to see the all 22. See if I don't even think it's a matter of somebody missing a block. Just guy got his hand up. Maybe you could argue that Parkey should get more air under it. I'm not enough of a special teams guru to know that or not. What I do know is the kick didn't go in, and the Bears had an outstanding season. And everyone, including you and me, thought they were going to be heading to Los Angeles next week. And this is just a crashing halt to what was an otherwise very, very impressive year for everybody in the organization, starting with Ryan Pace, going down to Matt Nagy, the defense, the way they played. But, you know, the question was posed to me multiple times this week, would it all still be considered a success if they lost in the first round? And my answer was yes, but it wouldn't feel good.
But no, yes, yeah.
It wouldn't feel good, and I think that's where they are. You know, they win tonight, and they go on to L.A., and they play a hard-fought game and lose to the Rams, easier to stomach. This is going to be incredibly hard to stomach. It's going to be a long offseason. There's going to be a lot of questions, and it's going to start with kicker.
Well, it's the way it ended.
Yeah.
Literally centimeters away from being victorious. Centimeters.
It's like the...
Not inches, centimeters.
The opening scene of Mighty Ducks, when it just... The puck hits the quarter to the other way, it would have gone in, and then the other guy
Gordy
says...
Bombay.
Right, well, yeah, but if it would have gone the quarter to the other side, you would have missed completely.
Yeah.
Which is kind of a stupid line, Conway, because either way, it's a miss.
Just bad. Just bad. Yes, look... We played out that scenario a lot, almost in jest. Did we not? There seemed to be an amusement about it.
Well, because it was both a realistic possibility and an absurd storyline. Because as many... You and I cover sports for a living. We've seen great stories. We've seen bad stories. It just seemed too absurd for the season to end that way.
Yeah.
And yet, here we are. That's what happened. It ended on not just a Cody Parkey doink, but a double doink.
It set up for such a storybook finish for Mitch Trubisky, did it not?
It really, great
in the second half, rebounded after an awful second quarter.
He got them down there. I mean,
beautiful throw to Allen Robinson. 25-yarder down to the Eagles 33. Of course, you have to give Tree Cone credit for the kickoff return. Why you kicked him in the first place, I don't get, but... Man, not meant to be.
Okay, so here's what I think is a fair question. It was, I believe, 3rd and 1, right? 3rd and 1, 3rd and 2 on the play before the field goal.
Yes.
They took a shot downfield. interesting call, I thought.
You didn't like Trubisky's answer on it?
Well, what did he say again? We're going to play all this for you in a little bit.
Yes, he said that it had to be through the end zone, into the end zone. Because if it wasn't, they were concerned about getting to the line of scrimmage, and rightfully so.
Yeah, I like that answer. Yes. No, because he's making a shot in the middle of the field. He's absolutely right. Yes. The ball needs to be in the end zone, and so I think he was essentially saying he overthrew it a little bit because he was making sure it was in the end zone.
Correct.
That I get. What I didn't like so much was Matt Nagy's answer to the same question. I asked both of them this question. He was saying, well, we ran the ball in Miami to pick up extra yards, and we didn't get it. I was thinking more along the lines of you throw 5-7 yards to the sideline.
But what if he doesn't get out of bounds?
Here's what I'm talking about with Matt Nagy's answer that I don't like. You run the ball there. You can't run the ball.
No, he's just referencing probably the criticism that he received for running the ball in that situation for Cordy Park in Miami.
Right, but he was saying that's why we didn't do that here. And you can't run the ball in that situation because if you don't get it, you don't have a timeout. Right. So I just didn't like his answer. He didn't even mention throwing a short pass to the sideline, getting out of bounds. What I'm getting at is it's a 42-yard field goal. It's the NFL. You should hope your kicker can make it in that situation. That's just not been the case all season.
Yeah.
I don't know how anyone.
I know what you're saying.
I don't know how anyone in that sideline could have felt good about that.
I get what you're saying, but the risk involved of throwing your 5-yard out. I mean, if it's an incomplete, it's an incomplete. It's no different than going through the end zone. But I mean, if it is caught and the defender gets him and wrestles him down, there is no way that Cody Parkey and his crew is running out there to get that ball off. It just isn't happening.
Right, but you would have the first down and maybe time to clock it. Although it would have been tight. I'm trying
10
to see.
10 seconds left.
The clock was at 15. 15 seconds there on 3rd and 2. So it would have been close.
Yeah. Extremely close.
But there are routes to run, and you practice them where you complete the ball going out of bounds or it's incomplete. Same thing with the end zone.
Yeah.
You complete it for a touchdown or it's in the end zone incomplete. So, and that
doesn't absolve your kicker of...
No, it doesn't.
I get trying to make an easier kick for him, but 42 is... God, it's almost...
But this just has not been automatic with him.
I know.
And I hate to bring this up. I didn't mean to be picking on the guy pregame. His warm-up was awful. I tweeted it out before the game trying to be somewhat nice in how I worded it. I think I said it was a mixed bag was what I used.
You said he was kind of a mixed bag going north, was he not?
So I caught it starting mid-session to the south end zone, okay? I saw the last three kicks to the south. You won't believe it, but the first one I saw, doink. I didn't catch the distance on that, but it was longer. They moved back, so I think it was somewhere in the 40 range because they moved back then to 53, which he missed wide left. 52, he misses wide left. Those were the last three kicks of the south. Again, this is in warm-ups. They go to the north end zone. He makes a 28-yarder, a 32-yarder, then misses right on the 38-yarder. Again, these are anything under 40 in the NFL level should be automatic, especially in warm-ups. Misses that. Then the next one for 37, I honestly couldn't tell from the press box if it went in or not, which means it was close either way. Makes it from 42, makes it from 47, short from 53, then makes it from 53, then makes it from 24. It wasn't a great warm-up session. And they watched that stuff click carefully. Now he comes in the game.
He made his field goals.
And he made his field goals two or three.
Two.
Two. And then misses a third?
Yes. He made three field goals before that.
Yeah, he
made three. He made from 36, 29, and 34. So I get your argument of getting him into closer range. But
right. Well, all right.
To me, there's a significant difference between a 42-yarder and a 49er, but I get your point.
I guess I'm just saying I think a 5 to 7 yard out there would have made sense. I also am fully on board with everybody who's listening to this right now being like, an NFL kicker should make a 42-yarder in that situation. Totally correct.
Yeah.
Should we hear from him?
Yeah.
Are people going to turn off the podcast if they listen to Cody
Parker? Just fast forward 3 minutes.
Yeah,
it's a podcast.
Don't stop listening. If you're that upset with him,
fast forward. If you'd like to hear from the kicker, here it is.
Did you think you were going to be iced?
I don't really think about that.
Yeah, because you made your kick there before.
Sure,
before
I heard the whistle. I know it was a practice kick, but yeah, I struck a good ball there, and unfortunately, I mean, I can't make this up. I hit the post what 6 times this year, and I hit it twice on that one.
How about the upright and then the crossbar?
Like I said, I mean, you can't make this up. I mean, I feel terrible. Let the team down. That's on me. So I have to own it. I have to be a man. And, you know, it's unfortunately, that's the way it went today.
Your teammates quickly consoled you. I mean, does that help in that situation? Or are we just numb? Or?
Of course. I mean, that's one of the worst feelings in the world to let your team down. So I feel terrible. You know, I'm going to continue to put things in perspective, continue to just put my best foot forward and just sleep at night knowing that I did everything in my power this week to go and make that kick, and for whatever reason at the crossbar and the upright, and I still couldn't do it. So yeah, I feel terrible.
Anything go wrong on the kick mechanically?
No, I thought I hit a great ball. I was trying to play the wind.
Cody, as you were going out there to make that kick before the first timeout was called, what was going for your mind as you were walking from the sideline out to where you were going to start?
Make the field goal.
Nothing else? That's it?
That's it.
Were you feeling like you were obviously in a groove, hitting those three in the first half? You know, that you had it going.
Yeah. Confidence was going. Like I said, I mean, there's really no answer to it. I thought I had a good ball, and unfortunately, I didn't make it. I mean, I feel terrible, and I 100% take that loss on me. And it is what it is. But I mean, sun's going to shine tomorrow. Life's going to go on, and unfortunately, it's going to sting for a while.
Which way was the wind blowing?
Left to right.
A few more.
As the final drive is going, are you kind of mentally in your head calculating, okay, where am I going to have to hit this from, that sort of thing? Do you do any of that sort of
just
things?
Kicking in the net, and then when they send me out for field goal, I go out and try to make it.
Cody, you drive home after this.
Sure.
Who do you talk to? How do you handle something like this for you personally?
I'll talk to my wife. She's always there for me, supporting me. My dog, when I get home, he's not going to care if I made it or missed it. But yeah, this is a terrible feeling. I mean, I can't hide that.
Cody, did you
Last one.
Hear from any of your teammates after that? What did they say to you?
Every single one of them said they got my back and that they love me and to not let this affect me. Of course, it's going to sting for a few days. I mean, just being completely honest. But yeah, I have to move on.
Cody, do you think your future's in doubt here?
It's not my job to consider that.
Well, I'll say this. I feel for the guy. Sports can be absolutely brutal sometimes. You know, it doesn't absolve him from missing a kick. I think the future is worth discussing here, even in the aftermath of the game, because there's two sides to this. One is you paid a kicker a lot of money, and he cost you at least 2 games this year, and is a huge question mark going forward. Just on that alone, okay? The other part that I think is incredibly relevant, too, I don't know if general managers think this way or not. We've seen guys get absolutely trashed in this town to a point where it crosses lines.
They can't return.
It's already happening tonight. It reminds me of what happened to Chris Conte in 2013 with the blown coverage, which, by the way, wasn't completely his fault. The kick was tipped. That's a thing that matters here a little bit. And I don't know that Cody Parkey can go back and kick here for the Bears again.
No. Well, even the scenario, let's go back to the scenario we laid out. If this happened, I don't see how you could keep him.
We talked about this 2 weeks ago.
Yes. And just in terms of like the old, what they always say, accountability, right? Like you eventually have to answer for your failures. And this may mean the Bears may have to swallow $5 million, more than $5 million of salary cap space on this.
Mm-hmm. It's almost $5.2 million.
But you know what? To have him, I guess maybe you bring him to camp, but he's got to have competition. But then again, what competition are you going to have if you're bringing him back? You have to make this decision come free agency.
I think the solution's way easier, and it's just a matter of does NFL egos and the money make sense? There, he was in the building tonight
with his two boys.
He's the Bears' all-time leading kicker. It's been 4 years, well, 3 years of not figuring out the kicker situation, and the guy's been crushing it since they left here. His name is Robbie Gold. He was in the building in a skybox suite with his family tonight, and he loves Chicago.
He loves this team.
He still lives here. It would be easier on his family to still work here. You swallow the money and you sign him.
Well, it's my understanding.
It's a no-brainer.
He would do it. It's my understanding. He would in a heartbeat. The hurt feelings. Even if I'm sure Robbie's over him at this point, but even his beefs, those people are not here anymore.
No,
John Fox and Jeff Rogers are not here anymore.
It's just a matter, honestly, if Ryan Pace can just admit that he made a wrong choice, which I know a lot of people come back and say, well, that jump started Robbie's second part of his career, which is accurate too. But it was still, it was a wrong move. It just was. Well, no matter what the outcome has been,
Pace's worst move.
It is. So you can write it. He's right there.
Yeah.
But you're talking about, what do you have to pay him? Probably over $3 million.
Yeah, I think he made, I don't know what he made actually out there.
I don't know either. I also think he would take a little bit less to come here.
Yeah, maybe two and a half, three. 1 year deal.
Plus on top of the five, you're eating.
You'd probably give him two.
You're talking about maybe $7, $8 million on the kicker position for next year. But what also is relevant, you don't have to pay Mitch yet.
Yeah, maybe you give him a 2 year deal where the first year is kind of cheap. There's way to maneuver the salary cap. There really is. There's going to be moves that free up space. I do think they need additions elsewhere. Obviously, they don't have much draft capital.
But you can't ignore this position.
No. It's the most glaring hole. One position where a guy's on the field for five or six plays a game.
Yeah.
It needs to be fixed. It really does. Because I get the family mantra. I get it. I think a lot of those players really do believe it in the locker room. But at the end of the day, when they're like home tonight or they wake up in the morning, some of them may be furious.
Yeah, because think about everything they put on the line. And I think it's great they act that way. And Kyle Long's out there on the field giving them a hug right after the miss. But those guys invest so much to come this far, and for it to end that way. And then not, just even beyond that, you're talking about even showing up to training camp next year in Bourbonnais. That's still going to be hovering over everything.
Yeah.
And it's not just us or the fans who will be watching every single kick in the preseason. It'll be those guys too.
Yeah.
They want to know, are we going into another year where we're going to work our ass off for 17 straight weeks, make the playoffs, and have it end on a kick?
Playoff games are meant to be tight. Adam Vinatieri, I can't say his name right now.
Vinatieri
is a legend because of moments like that.
Yep.
Well, still playing, by the way. Legend. Still kicking, I should say, by the way.
Robbie's legend. Made some big kicks, too. Just was on a lot of teams that didn't even make playoffs.
Yeah.
I just think this is so cut and dry and so easy, other than the money, which is a lot
to
a kicker.
The salary cap's going up. There's ways to maneuver space around. You can change a guy's contract, someone else's contract, to free up more cap space. But it's, yeah, if you're making the checklist for Ryan Pace in the offseason already,
yeah,
it's number one.
All right. Wasn't the only reason the Bears lost tonight. The first half, Bears mustered two field goals. Both came on drives where the Eagles made stupid penalties on third down to keep the drive going. Otherwise, it was punt, punt, punt. You know, I was getting ready to write the Bears offense didn't carry its weight this season type deal, and that the whole offseason, it's about Matt Nagy's system taking the next step forward, Mitch taking the next step forward, and Ryan Pace finding the right additions to take this offense to the next level. Because here's the reality. This Bears defense carried you. It's a great unit. If Vic Fangio comes back, which is a big if here in the next few days, it will be a big topic of conversation, there's no reason to think the Bears defense won't be dominant again next year. But there's so many variables that go into it. Injuries. Are they, what, 36 takeaways did they end up forcing this year?
Yes.
Are you going to do that again? That seems really hard to do, just like based off of normal NFL reality. You know what I mean?
Well, they're not going to stink, though.
They're not going to stink. My point is, the offense, though, is going to have to come up and win more games.
Yeah.
The offense is going to have to take charge, which it almost did tonight.
Yeah, yeah. Which is... You could probably write that should be the expectation for next year.
Right.
Should it not? Trubisky in his second season with everybody, including his head coach. I think you still need to add to that side of the ball, too, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Like Taylor Gabriel, nice addition. Maybe need a little bit bigger of a faster guy. Trey Burton, what the heck happened Friday into Saturday?
So bizarre.
Yeah. Groin injury, what happened? Who knows? You need a little bit more consistency from some of your key contributors on offense. I think you have something in Tariq Cohen. I think you have something in Al Robinson. You have to figure out your running game.
Yeah, what happens with Jordan Howard?
Yeah, yeah. What's going on there? The running game was abysmal this year. It was non-existent today. I know that's a good Eagles front. I think they're number 7 against the run. They've even been better the past 3 weeks leading into the postseason. As far as tonight, I thought Trubisky was exceptional in the second half. I think that matters.
Yeah.
I really do think that matters.
Well, it does matter because the alternate... what the hell is that animal running across the 50-yard line right now?
That is a possum.
Right in the middle.
Hold on. Let's take a picture. This is going to be a live picture.
There is an animal. We are recording above Soldier Field, and there is an animal running across the field. It is now making its way to the 10. The 5. He could go all... Oh, my God, he stopped short of... Okay, he's in.
He's in.
I don't know what that is. It's a possum?
I think so.
This
I got
is
my
really
picture.
Happening, by the way, people. I'll put the video on Twitter or something. And he's sitting right now at, like, the one-inch line. A metaphor for the Bears season.
And he's out of the end zone. Look at the cameraman down there. This is amazing podcasting, by the way. And now he is leaving. There seems to be... Is that Mark Grody out there going after it? Someone's going after it. That guy's going... Is that Mark Grody?
I don't think it's Grody. All right, I don't know what that means, that there's a possum running around the field. This is season over. Season is over, but... It probably means...
You can't go near those things. They're vicious.
It
was not pretending to sleep by any means. It's back on the goal line.
It likes the goal line.
How did it get in the building?
I don't know. But hey, a weird night at Soldier Field just got weird. Let's just leave it at that.
Yes. Now I'm completely distracted by the possum that's now going from the 10 to 11. He's still on the 11.
I don't even know what we were talking about. I did tweet out the video, though, good, if you'd like good, proof good. That there was an animal on the field. What were we talking about? The offense. Yeah. Got to be better. I mean, there was no doubt a factor in this game. They did step up in the fourth quarter. I agree. Mitch was great down the stretch. And I think what I was about to say there before I was interrupted by that animal is that the other alternative ending that I was kind of fearing at the end, just for like our sake of covering the team all offseason, was Mitch throwing an interception.
Yes.
You know, because that could have also been a very real possibility that would have actually surprised nobody. But he made the throws.
They got aggressive in the second half. Aggressive. Double moves. Sluggle routes.
I don't know why it took that long to take advantage of that one-on-one matchup Allen Robinson kept having against
he didn't have a lot of time early on or wasn't comfortable in the pocket.
The protection was better as the game went on.
That is a good front. Fletcher Cox, even on Trubisky's best completion, 3rd and 11, 19 yards to Taylor Gabriel, took a big hit from Fletcher Cox. It's a heck of a throw. Heck of a throw. Yeah. Look, some people may not think it's enough, 15 points. I get it. But the Eagles have been playing well. This is Mitch Trubisky's first playoff game. He was better than Deshaun Watson in his first playoff game. He was better than Lamar Jackson in his first playoff game.
Yeah.
He put the Bears in position to win. Cody Parkey did not come through for his team.
And then on the other side of the ball, though, I can tell you from covering this defense all year and just talking to Danny Trevathan this week, I thought it was the quote of the week, him saying that, you know, we're going to be remembered for what we do in the playoffs. And it's not like this looks bad tonight. And they didn't have Eddie Jackson, which I thought he was going to play. he's active but didn't play. But the reality is, it's the first time since they lost to the Giants that they gave up more than one touchdown in the game, which is a great streak.
Yes.
And they really shouldn't be punished for giving up more than one touchdown. But they're at home. The crowd's going nuts. You just need to get off the field against Nick Foles.
Bad tackling.
And they didn't
rears its ugly head again.
They didn't get the job done. And you know that's going to be eating the defensive players all offseason. They couldn't get the stop. And I'm not just talking about it on the goal line. They stopped three plays in a row, and then, you know, that's a tough situation there one-on-one on that fourth down, Sherrick McManus against Golden Tate.
Got a good matchup there.
And they took advantage of it.
Yeah.
But earlier in that drive, you bring up the missed tackles. Kyle Fuller had one. Deion Bush had one. You know, I kept pointing out on tape all year, Kyle Fuller has a tendency to throw his body in the guys instead of wrapping up. Showed up right there in a crucial moment in the football game tonight, in the playoffs. These are things that matter, and it's certainly, if you're going to rank the reasons why the Bears lost tonight, it's not one or two, reason one or two, but they had a chance to win it right there. The defense, the most dependable unit you have, and they didn't get the job done.
No. Got them down the fourth down. I remember a big reception from, who else? Alshon Jeffrey. Just made big, timely receptions all game today, it felt like. And you knew they were going to go down to Alshon in that situation. Wanted the ball.
Yeah.
Wanted the ball.
He was talking a lot
of trash. Was he ever. So I think the truth comes out, or came out. Clearly this game meant more than he tried to not say it was, or whatever he was talking about earlier this or last week in Philadelphia. But he played a great game. Let's give him credit. He got a lot. He beat Kyle Fuller a lot today.
Yeah.
He really did.
Well,
you're all-pro cornerback.
He didn't look like an all-pro tonight. He had a one nice stop, though, there at the end. That was a big play. But for the most part tonight, Kyle Fuller kind of struggled. I'm really interested to look back at this tape. You know, even that throw to Anthony Miller right before the missed field goal at the end, I kind of felt like if the ball was a little bit farther inside, Anthony Miller maybe could have run under it. That's what Mitch was talking about in the press conference. Again, we're going to play Mitch and Matt Nagy here before we get out of here, but Mitch was saying that he had to make sure he got it deep enough the end zone, which is true, but he was trying to get Anthony Miller to be able to run under the ball, and he just overthrew it. I actually thought if it was a little bit more inside, it maybe would have worked.
Yeah. It was zero coverage. You said?
Yeah.
It looked like you had him for a second there. I feel like he felt rushed on the throw. I got to look back and watch what type of pressure Jim Schwartz dialed up for the Eagles defense.
Well, usually with zero, you got to get rid of the ball.
Right. So
the timing could have been off.
Yeah, yes. And to his own point, he needed to make sure he put enough air on it so it got into the end zone.
Yeah. Something else I thought fascinating from the Eagle side of things. So the goal line stand that ended up not being a stand because they scored on fourth down. Doug Peterson actually called that play three straight plays in a row. And the first two times, so that would have been on second and third down, there was a kill attached to it. So Nick Foles could read the defense at the line of scrimmage and kill the pass. Basically, he's checking to a run. That's what he did there. Although I thought they threw the ball in one of those plays. But he must have killed it to whatever the second option was. Whatever, he killed the sprint out to the right and throw to Golden Tate at the line of scrimmage. So during the timeout, maybe that's why Doug Peterson called timeout, because a lot of people were going like, why is he calling timeout here? Maybe that's why he called timeout.
Yeah.
To make sure to tell him, hey, forget the kill. Run the play.
It's going to be there, yeah.
Take advantage of the matchup, and they got it.
I got to say one thing. Like, Nick Foles does not throw a pretty football. He doesn't. But he trusts his receivers, and his anticipation is something else. The touchdown that Dallas Goedert got, the matchup he wanted. He threw that ball before Dallas Goedert made his cut and turned around.
Yep.
Against Adrian Amos. The long reception to Alshon Jeffrey on the Bears sidelines, remember that? Threw that ball before Alshon Jeffrey cut at the top of his route, and he ran underneath it. I think the Bears safety slipped. I forget who it was. It was either Deion Bush or Adrian Amos, but look, Nick Foles' magic might be real, but the anticipation of his throws, the trust in his receivers, that stood out to me tonight.
Yeah, I don't know how the guy keeps doing it, but he does it. Boy, if they somehow beat the Saints next week, a team that just crushed them in the regular season, then you know there's something. I don't know how to explain it, but you know, I was on with Hamp and OB and Carm after the game. They were bringing up how the Bears...
How many people did they fire?
Well, their big thing was that they should have just lost to the Vikings last week and played
I don't want to have that conversation.
Look, I agree with the idea that I don't think the Vikings would have won tonight.
That's fair.
That being said, that's just such a loser's mentality to say that they should have just thrown the second half last week against a team that they were dominating.
Yeah.
I don't
like the idea of laying down. I don't know how full Hall of Fame football players can get in that line of thinking. And look, I love those guys, but
I wrote it 3 weeks ago. I thought the Eagles were the most dangerous team because they're the Super Bowl champs, and they were going to come in here winning 5 out of 6. That being said, I also said the Bears could beat any of the opponents, and I stand by that. I mean, I was wrong, but they also should have won the game tonight. Make the kick, and you got the win.
Yeah, yeah. One would say 52 guys won tonight. And I don't mean to put it all on Parkey. Again, Trubisky should have been picked off 2 times. Jordan Howard never got going. A bunch of the offensive linemen had long days, especially early on in the first half.
Cohen had 4 touches.
Yeah. Well, they had a good defensive plan, I think, for that.
And I think that's where Trey Burton, not having him really
was missed. Yeah, yeah, absolutely missed. Cohen did drop a screen.
Yeah, he did.
I remember that. Look, the Anthony Miller play, that was, I don't know what that call was, overturned, reviewed, brought back. No clue. Yeah. Didn't exist for all we know, but didn't make enough plays. But the final play still stings. It should sting for Bears fans.
All right, we like to get you Matt Nagy and Mitch Trubisky in these podcasts. We will do that. Again, it's a podcast, so if you don't want to hear the whole thing or you've already heard it.
Nagy talked for 60 minutes, took everything we wanted to throw at him for tonight.
Which is how I was going to preface this, because he made a point of saying, look, I'll answer anything, and he stood there for 16 minutes after an incredibly tough loss. By the way, the second straight year, he's dealt with a really tough wild card loss. Anyway, here's the head coach. Again, if you don't want to hear the whole thing, you can skip ahead. We'll wrap things up with some final thoughts too, but here's the head coach, Matt Nagy.
It's always a little bit different. Those guys understand it, but we're gonna rally together. We're gonna stick together. We're gonna be a family. And again, I just want to just say a big thank you to the fans, to the city of Chicago. Absolutely unbelievable. The support that they gave us all year long was second to none, and they need to be proud to be a Chicago Bear fan. And we're proud to have them as our fans. They were rocking and rolling tonight, a huge part of this deal. So thank you, and we hope we can be better next year.
What did you say to Cody?
We haven't talked yet. I don't know where he was, but he's it's hard. It's a difficult deal. I don't think you can write that story. You know, just with how things went this year and how he rebounded, and then for that to happen. It's tough, and it's hard for all the players. It's hard for him. It's hard for everybody. It stinks. You know, it's not easy. But just as I told the guys, I looked around in that locker room at the end, and I looked at every one of them. It reminded me of Green Bay Week 1 because they gave it their all, and you learn from these things. So we can't see it right now, but I guarantee you that feeling that we just had in that locker room is going to help us in the future.
And how would you characterize your emotion for this run to be over?
Well, it hasn't really hit me yet. You know, you're just dealing with so many different emotions in there with the players and coaches. Everyone's, you know, upset. They're frustrated. But in the end, when you step back and you look at the big picture of what we've done this year, they'll be super proud. And they deserve that. They work so hard at being a family. They work so hard at, you know, being. We talked to start the year. Be obsessed to be the best. That was our slogan, and they did that. They really did. We have fun this year. One team in the end gets to hold that trophy. It's not going to be us. Hopefully down the road it will be. But we had a lot of fun, and I love our guys to death.
What did you see from Mitch in the fourth quarter, particularly? He seemed to get the rhythm.
Just a guy that continued to make plays. He's done it all year long. He's made plays when he's had to. We looked at each other with whatever time under a minute to go, and we knew we were going to move the ball and go down there and have an opportunity. And he did that. And he looked at me. He gave me a smile. And I said, you know, I just told him, I said, this is where the story begins. And he did it. He did a great job. I was just telling somebody in there, no one, not one person, truly knows how far that kid has come this year than me. And I mean, we're lucky. We're lucky to have him. I'm looking forward to the future. I really am with him because the city of Chicago is lucky to have that kid at quarterback.
Knowing that field goals haven't been automatic this season, what went into taking that shot on third down as opposed to just picking up like a few yards to get closer?
I go back to Miami when I tried to pick up a few yards and get closer, and that didn't work. So now we went for an opportunity to get closer. They zeroed us. So anytime you zero, Schwartz is a good coordinator. And when you go back and watch the tape, you'll see there was about 13 guys within 4 yards. So if we run the ball there, we're going to not get anything. So we took a shot. And the other thing is it took up some time off the clock, being where if you do make the field goal, then when you kick off, they're basically out of time. So that was kind of the mindset. And those guys did a good job because some of those situations, they're hard to prepare for. Whether you have a timeout, you don't have a timeout, it's third down, it's second down, you get the first, you don't, everything. And I thought the guys executed it pretty well.
On their final offensive possession.
The Burton injury sort of caught us off guard this morning.
Mm-hmm.
Can you share some background on that?
Yeah, it's pretty simple. He got up this morning and yesterday. He got up yesterday and it was early. It was like 5 in the morning. He was getting there the same time I was and his groin hurt. So they went through just trying to get everything looked at and see what's going on. They did tests and everything and that's when we weren't sure what was going to happen. And then we had to, last night go ahead and mention it. So it crushed him. It absolutely crushed him. I mean, I just saw him in there, and he feels bad, but because he feels like he wasn't there for his guys. And then, of course, how ironic. I mean, just crazy ironic that it's against Philadelphia. So it is. As you go through these things, I just try to things happen. And he had a great week of practice all week, and then all of a sudden, this. But that's what it is. I mean, that's how things go. And I told Trey yesterday, he's bummed out. I said, hey, you got to understand, stay positive. Hopefully we go get a win, and then you come back next week against the Rams. And it's unfortunate.
So it's your ability to use Tariq Cohen without having Burton.
Say that again?
Could he trace that groin to anything he did Friday?
I don't think so. No, it's just it's strange. I'm not a doctor, but I don't really have an answer for you on that. I mean, he ended up getting up, and felt it and did what he's supposed to do, which is go in and talk to the trainer and try to get it taken care of. That's exactly what we did.
How much did his absence affect your ability to use Tariq Cohen? Did they zero in on him more?
No, they're. Listen, every team we play is going to have a plan for 29. So we got to figure out how to find ways to get them the ball. When you have a plan for 29, it opens up other guys. And then you saw today, 12 ended up having a pretty good deal there.
So you got to go in the ball enough to get 4 touches?
4? Well, what kind of – what do you think?
Well, that's what you think.
4 touches is not enough. Yeah, but it's a good question.
On their final offensive possession, about a minute and a half left, you chose not to call timeout. Were you keeping it for getting the ball back? Would you prefer to have it when you have the ball versus stopping the clock in that situation?
Say it one more time.
When they had the ball about a minute and a half left, you chose not to call timeout.
Yeah.
Would that to keep a timeout for when you got the ball back?
Yeah, that and we're you could call that and keep it. It doesn't to me. That doesn't matter. It's one. It's 6-1, half dozen the other. You could call it there, and you have the more. You have time, or you don't call it, and you use it when you have it on offense. And so, I thought it worked out pretty well.
You had Eddie up, but he never went into that.
Well, we had a spot then with Trey's deal, so we had a spot. So we just felt like for him, he's able to. He was in a good position. I told you it was literally a game time decision, and that's what we went into, and he felt good, but we had a plan too, so we were in a position where with that spot, if we felt like we wanted to play him, we could play him, and if we felt like we didn't, then we wouldn't.
Mitch had a couple balls that were close to being intercepted, one in the end zone,
mm-hmm.
boundary that they reviewed. Did you say anything to him after that?
He actually came to me and said, I can't do that. Yeah, he the one in the end zone was the one he came to me and said that. And then the one on the one to the sideline that they reviewed, that was just he just left it hanging a little inside. That kid made a good play too.
Matt, you said earlier that you're probably the only one that really knows how far Mitch has come this year.
Yeah.
Can you give us a little idea?
Well, just coming into OTAs, coming into training camp, we threw a lot at him, as I told you. We threw a bunch at him. And he didn't really have a big library into seeing a bunch of different defenses. So he was trying to learn our offense and then pair it up with the defenses he's going to see. And some defensive coordinators, they did a good job at throwing a bunch of different stuff at us this year. So we got to see a lot of different things. And what he did was early in the year, it was maybe a next play. Hey, let's forget that. And he grew there. So he got better in regards to he forgot about what just happened in previous play. So that's number one. Number two, his vision and his progression within this offense got a lot better. Because he starts to learn, he starts repeating plays, and so he gets to know the offense. The third part is he starts looking at the defense, and now he can start seeing, okay, was it cover three, was it cover one, was it 22 man, was it 55 boundary, you know, was it cover zero, was it quarters, was it – so he can see all that and test it. And then the last part, I think, is having wide receivers, tight ends, running backs that have never been in this offense before helping him out as well, getting more volume, and now that trust. And you saw that tonight was a prime example of taking 29 away, but 12 having a big game.
Matt, did you give a good explanation on the incomplete pass fumble at the 7 going?
I didn't get a great explanation. The only reason why is because I was going through what my two calls were on first and goal from the 5 or third and 3. So I didn't – I mean, I saw it, and our coaches were on it, but I didn't get a great explanation.
The fourth and goal, the winning touchdown.
Yeah.
What did you think?
For them, you're saying? Yeah, it was a Q8. It was a sprint option, one-on-one. Kid made a good play. Foles made a great throw, got outside the pocket, good play call. So they made a great play there on fourth down. It was good.
The defense has stood up in those situations.
Yeah.
And again, what did you expect from your guys as they lined up for that?
Well, it wasn't going to surprise me if they stopped them. I know that. They just went down there and stopped them three times in a row from the one or two. So, but how can you fault our D for – I mean, they've played pretty darn well this year, and those guys feel bad. They want to make a play more than anybody. But that's our job then as the offense to step up and pick them up. I mean, shoot, they're our defense. I didn't look at one number, but our defense, I know this, played pretty darn well today.
Nothing prepares you for a loss like that from a first-year head coach perspective, though. But when you went to address your team after the game,
mm-hmm.
Challenging was it, and how did you gather yourself to do that?
I was fine. It was tough a little bit just looking at the guys, and just you feel for them because they put so much energy into this thing, and they wanted it so bad, and I love that about them. I just told them that with the change that happens, the turnover between players and coaches every year is different, and it's a challenge. And so the one thing that we did is we let everybody know who we are now. And, you know, I said, hey, teams are going to know it, and they're going to feel it when they walk into Chicago, into Soldier Field to Chicago. And they can check that off because now they're going to next year. And then now they also understand you're division champs. So we hit a goal there. But we didn't hit the ultimate goal. So that's always what keeps you going. It pushes you as players. It pushes you as coaches. It's not good enough. That's not who we're going to be, and we're going to strive to be the best. We're going to do everything we possibly can. But I know this: I wouldn't trade this year. I wouldn't trade a single day for anything. Yeah, I'm proud. I'm happy, and I'm gonna let it hurt right now for a little bit. I'm gonna feel it, as everybody should. But it's gonna make me better.
Man, we talked
you
about.
Know,
you
we talked. Go ahead. I'll go both. Yeah.
We talked about quarterbacks and the legacy being written in the playoffs. So Mitch leads him down at the end of the game. You guys have a chance.
Mm-hmm.
So how should this game be remembered for Mitch?
Well, I mean, if it's just me, I would say it's pretty good. You know, he those are the moments that you live for. In any sport, you want to hit the game-winning three, right? In this situation, you're down, and you know, you get a chance to bring your team back, kick a field goal, win the game. And he did that. He did everything that we asked him to do. He made big throws at big time opportunities that he had. And so that's another part of how he grew. In big time situations, how did you respond? Well, I know this. I want him on my side.
You know Doug as well as anybody. Mm-hmm. During that timeout, when you've got a minute to think about what is he going to call the most important play of the season, are you going through the Rolodex in your head at all? Are you offering any
No, there's way too many. And then you outthink yourself. So you saw he did a little Philly special draw and almost got it. But no, you don't. There's just so many plays in our playbooks that you outthink yourself.
What happened when Mitch came up hobbling?
Mm-hmm. He just hurt his heel a little bit. Yeah, so he started feeling that. And but he's tough. That's the other part, too. I mean, the kid's tough. He's blue-collar tough. Well, I like having that at the quarterback position.
Kyle Long said he didn't know if he'd be able to watch
the film. Who was that?
Kyle said he didn't know if he'd be able to watch the film.
Mm-hmm.
How do you decompress? What do you do in the next couple of days? Do you study that tape? And we were all stunned on the field as you were.
Mm-hmm.
Kid. I mean, how do you decompress from this?
It's a great question. I'll just kind of the next tomorrow. It's amazing. It's just as with every team, when you lose the next day, it's like a bomb hits and everyone's gone, and they're you have exit interviews and they leave. So we'll be busy tomorrow. But I'm excited to sit down and individually talk to every single player on the team and just, number one, thank them for what they did. But number two, in the plan going forward, how can you get better? What are your strengths? What are your weaknesses? And I'll do it with every coach too. And then I'll have them tell me what my strengths and weaknesses are so that we can all just, just continue to sharpen each other. So that's a big part of this process. So we'll do that tomorrow, and then we'll give everybody a break, just get away, get back with families, hang out. We've been away for a while, and then get to. We have plenty of time to worry about looking at that tape and seeing all that stuff, and then we'll hammer home on the self scout stuff. And I think for us, that's going to be exciting because we can really just cut out all the stuff that we don't like and get better.
Matt, you know how it works in pro sports. How concerned are you about the level of blame or responsibility that Cody Parkey will receive? And will you do anything to go out of your way to try to, prepare him for that and help him deal with that?
Well, Cody is he's a very mature kid. He's taken a lot. He's had an interesting year with going through the highs and lows. Going from missing those kicks, the one game to winning Special Teams Player of the Week. But in the end, I'm going to do everything I can to take a part of the human side of it, because that's you. I think the easiest way you look at that is that you put yourself in his situation. You think he tried to miss it? No, I know that. But you got to learn from it. You got to figure out the why part, and he'll do that, and we need to do that too, and just come together. But we need to support each other. I think it's cowardly when anybody with anything. You got to be there and you got to talk. You got to figure it out and understand it. And it's hard. I mean, this is a hard one to swallow. But we'll all be in it together.
Thank you.
So there's Matt. You hear the explanation on Trey Burton in there. He just woke up. I mean, it sounds like he woke up with a. I'm finding it hard to buy the whole thing. I got to be honest with you. Either he suffered something in practice and was trying to cover it up, and then woke up Sunday or Saturday with more soreness. Nagy says he shows up at 5 a.m. when he was getting into the building and reported the injury. And they
I didn't even see him at all. Did you see him at all?
I didn't
today?
See. No. Although I heard he was on the sideline.
Okay, that's good.
Yeah. I'm not saying like anything suspicious happened. I mean, I don't know, but it's hard to buy the whole thing.
Some people on Twitter have I don't mean to cite people on Twitter, but kidney stones or something. You don't know. Yeah. You don't know. Look, DeAndre Houston Carson showed up to practice one day with sore ribs. So maybe Trey Burton was dealing with something and wanted to hide
tough
it for
it
a
out.
Bit. Yeah, yeah.
You know, these are all possibilities. Some conspiracy theories have the dance-off being the thing. Now, Nagy said it came in at 5 a.m. That would have been before the dance-off.
Dance-off, yes.
So if you believe that part of it, that rules that out. But you're right. There could be something else going on here, like non-injury related, that they just start calling a groin injury.
Yeah, yeah.
And they don't want to say more.
Yeah.
So... we'll do our jobs and try to find out, but right now it's really weird.
He was missed.
He was definitely missed. And the Eddie Jackson thing. I thought he would play, but it's clear the whole week did not go as they thought. He didn't practice Wednesday when they thought he would. he's still, you know, watching him on Thursday looked a little gimpy, even though he was out there, even in pregame warmups. I mean, it didn't look like anything.
Foles
was wrong, but he also was hardly going full speed.
Right. His little pregame workout routine was not a full speed.
It seemed very slow.
Yes. Still, I didn't expect them to go full speed when they work out these guys, yeah. But Nick Foles had one throw. Where was it? It was like the Golden Tate over the middle. It seemed to be lofted in the air. It was in the air forever. And Adrian Amos was in the position to make a play. But Adrian Amos's tendency is to go for the hit. He made the hit. Hard hit. I think Sherrick Manis got banged up on the play a little bit too. I think he missed a couple snaps. But that's a play where an Eddie Jackson comes in and swoops in to make the interception. We've seen it. He's got that range. He's got that speed. He's got those instincts. He loves the ball. He was missed tonight. He definitely was.
Yeah. No question. All right. Nagy had good things to say about the quarterback, though. The quarterback played pretty well down the stretch, got the Bears in position to win the game, and here he is, Mitch Trubisky.
Mitch, if you trotted off the field after positioning the team for the field goal there, what were your thoughts about the way you had moved the team, and what was ahead for Cody getting a swing at it?
Yeah, that was our goal. I felt like the offense, we just did our job and just try to get as close as you can to give our team an opportunity to finish it. And we just came up short. So it's kind of just, we're just all shell-shocked a little bit. We didn't expect it to end that way. But we put ourselves in a pretty good position to win that game, and we just battled all night long. So I'm just proud of the way the guys stuck together. And it's been a privilege just to be a part of this family and play with these guys. And it just didn't go our way at the end. So
Matt said, he said to you right before that drive, before it begins, what did you feel for that moment and the opportunity that you had right there?
Yeah, for sure. Just my mindset was just keep everything, just go out there, do my job, find completions, and put my team in position to hopefully finish it the right way. So I just went out there very calm, make sure my guys knew that we all believed. So there was never a doubt that we were out of the game for any 1 second. So I was just back there doing my job. It all starts up front for us all season long. Those five guys, they protected me. I love them to death. I can't thank them enough for all they've done, just protecting me, sacrificing their body, and really getting us going all season long. So a lot of credit to my five linemen and what they do for this team. And then from there, it's just playing pitch and catch, going down the field, finding completions, IDing the defense, and just finding completions to try to put ourselves in a position to go. So don't think about the moment and everything else that's going on. Just play the game one snap at a time. That was my mindset. And we wanted to, yeah, Coach did say that, we wanted to write our story and start it off, but it doesn't always go the way you want it to. And that's life. That's football. There's a very crazy, like, finalizing thing about football when you come up short, but you got to be proud of all the work we put in and how we stuck together and the guys in that locker room. And there's a lot of love for all the guys on the team, and it was awesome to be a part of. So we just shocked right now.
You looked her down right before the field game. What did you get defensively? What did you see there on the throw?
The one that was over Anthony.
Yeah, right before
the game. It was cover zero, and the ball's got to go in the end zone. It can't be completed before, because we wouldn't have had enough time to clock it. So basically I was just trying to throw it to a matchup, and I picked Anthony. It was cover zero, and I tried to put it in a spot where he could run in under it, but he'd have to catch it in the end zone, because if he catched it before and was down, then we wouldn't have had enough time to clock it for a field goal. So it was a weird situation. Tried to do the best we could, but it would have been cool to if he could get under it. But, we still had a shot. We were in a position, and it just didn't go our way.
The first half, what the defense did to kind of give you guys the ball a couple times, it's kind of a missed opportunity to create some offense.
I'm sorry?
So did you look at the first half as kind of some missed opportunities to create some points?
Yeah, sometimes. I mean, that's how it was with our offense. Sometimes we were rolling and in rhythm, and other times we weren't. And it's just making adjustments on the sideline, getting our mindset, getting everybody on the same page. And I truly believe it all starts in the huddle. Just getting guys in and out, breaking the huddle, and everybody be on the same page, doing their job. And there's a couple drives that didn't go our way in the first half, but, I mean, we're a team. We know we have a great defense, and they did our job, and we just need to get something going on offense. So it's not – always the way you exactly want it to be, and it didn't go that way. But I'm going to have to watch it as well. But, I mean, of course, there's always things you could have done better throughout the course of the game, and you want that. But we still made plays in the second half to give us a shot. We just got to make that next step. It is making those plays in the first half, taking more pressure off our defense and scoring more points. So we definitely want to just score more. But you got to be proud of the way we battled. I know I am.
Which will start clicking for you and Allen in that second half?
Yeah, just taking advantage of the backside matchup. They do a great job of taking away the passing strength for us and just making you take away certain spots and throws. They're playing off zone, so we just had to find ways and get creative to get the ball to our playmakers. And A-Rob did a great job running his routes and getting open. And I was just trying to put in a spot for him to make plays, and he made a bunch of great catches. And like everything else, it starts up front with our guys giving me time. So, yeah, proud of the way they battled. A-Rob played a heck of a game. And I was just trying to do my job and get the ball to our playmakers.
Just a captain of the team, how do you process Cody Parkey's role in this loss considering the season he's had?
We win and lose as a team and really as a family. So there's never one play that decides the game. There's a lot of things we could have done throughout as an offense, as a defense, as a special teams to make the game go our way. And we had a chance at the end, and the last play didn't go our way, but it doesn't define the game. I'm proud of the way we played, the way we battled. But, I mean, we stick together. We're a family. So you win as a family and you lose. And when everything's going good and you win, it feels awesome. But when things don't go your way and you lose, you have to deal with that as well. So it's not the way we wanted to end, but that's the reality. And all we could do is, I mean, just because something goes wrong doesn't mean we break apart and we don't stick together. That's not who we are. That's not the kind of culture we built in that locker room. We just come together even tighter and make sure that it makes us better for the future. And this team's it may not ever be the same, but wherever we go, we'll always remember this team and this experience, and just make sure it makes us better for the future.
Matt, was it difficult to get Tariq involved tonight? Only 4 touches. I know that's a lot less than what he's accustomed to.
Yeah, they did a good job keying on him and taking him away. And sometimes that's how it is with our offense. Different guys are going to get touches based on what the defense has given us. And we should always figure out more ways to get Tuna on the ball. And tonight it didn't, but I thought we were still pretty efficient on offense, especially in the second half. And it's all about just taking the matchups and taking what the defense gives us. And we're moving the ball, but we need to take the next step to score more touchdowns. But we didn't, and that's part of it. So I don't have a great answer for you for that question, but that's how it was tonight.
There's no one that knows how far you've come this year as much as he does. How far do you feel like you've come, and just the idea of attacking the offseason and knowing where this offense can be with another year under the system?
Yeah, I feel like I've come a long way, but I also feel like I'm really just getting started. There's a lot I can still improve on, and just this season and experiences like that in the end are definitely just going to motivate me even more for the future. I'm hungrier than ever, and I can't wait to just get back to work and get started. I think the future is bright, and yeah, just very thankful for all the fans that have stuck through with us all season long. It was a lot, really fun season, and I appreciate the way we stuck together as a family, and we all grew in different areas. And I thought I got better, but I'm just scratching the surface. Hopefully, I know this experience. I'm just going to do a lot of self-reflecting and make sure that I get better from this, and that it motivates me to become the best player I possibly can. So, yeah.
You talk about some of the missed opportunities in the first half, but then you put your team in position in the second half. How do you kind of balance those two halves in terms of when you evaluate your own game?
Yeah, you always want to play great for your team and go out there and do your job, but it's also got to be a next play mentality. So you don't play as well as you want the first half. We're not getting the rhythm. We're not going as much as we'd want to. I mean, who cares? Put it behind you. There's always a next play to be had, and you just got to keep battling and we can keep believing. And that's what we did. We were never out of the fight. It's never going to be exactly how you want it to be, but we found ways to win all season long, and then tonight we just came up a little short. But it was always just continue to stick together, forget about the bad plays, forget about what we couldn't do, and focus on the next plays and what we can accomplish. And everyone just go out there, do your job, and stick together.
How'd you feel Trey Burton's absence?
Yeah, obviously we want all our playmakers out there. It is unfortunate that he couldn't be out there with us tonight, and I know it's probably burning for him to not be out there. But for us, it's just stick together, support him, and support the next guy who's got to step up for him. And we know we got a lot of playmakers on offense, so as the next guy step up, and you got to have your brothers back. So fill in for him and do your job and come in and do it on this offense. But we know the type of player that Trey is, and he makes our offense better. But he continued to have our backs on the sidelines, just being there, supporting us, helping guys, and just make sure he's still part of this team and family.
Thank you.
All right, what stands out from Trubisky for me, I remember getting, hearing this from some people as early as late January last year, how committed he was and how obsessed, that word obsession that Nagy uses, how obsessed Trubisky was with getting better and the work he was putting in last offseason. We've talked about that. Like, whether the results are on the field or not, his heart and his work ethic, everything is in the right position for him
right
to continually
places.
To get better. You heard it there, I think, from him. I'm still hungry, just scratching the surface. I have no idea where this whole thing is going to go, but I can guarantee you from covering this guy for 2 years, he's going to do everything in his power this offseason to be a lot better next season. And I do think being in the system for the second year will matter a lot. Just, I'm not saying he'll ever be as good as Patrick Mahomes looks to be, but look how comfortable Mahomes seems to be in that system that he's been in for 2 years.
2 years, yeah.
There should be improvement next year from Mitch and from this entire offseason.
And I think people kind of underrate, when it comes to the comparison, Travis Kelce is an outstanding tight end. Bears do not have that.
Nope.
Tyreek Hill is such a dynamic threat. You see some of the catches that he makes for Patrick Mahomes, where it's a nice ball, 30-yarder, maybe a little bit
as
acrobatic.
As good as Cohen is, Tariq's on a different
level. Yes. But then he cuts it up and takes it 50 more yards down the field.
Yeah.
Electric football player. Speed at all areas. So to me, I think there's going to be upgrades here. People always wonder, what the heck is Smoke Mizell doing out in the field?
Right.
I think he's filling a spot on the roster for a player who's not even here yet. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Like a bigger pass-catching running back guy who gives the team more to prepare for. The Patriots always have like three or four guys like that.
The Eagles did before Corey Clement went down.
Yes. You like a guy who is versatile like that. I don't know if it's Tyquan Mazel. I don't think it is. Every time he gets the ball, you're like, what the heck is he doing out in the field? That's going to be an upgrade. I don't know. I don't think it's Jordan Howard. I don't.
However, as you're talking about this, it seems like the first time all year that it kind of hits you and is realized that they do not have a first or second round pick.
Yeah. Well, you can find good value in running back still later.
Yep. And you can find guys that can help you in free agency too.
Yeah. The Rex Burkheads of the world.
But this is where our conversations start to shift in the offseason. I mean, cap space, contracts, thinking about paying Mitch. All these things are going to come up as you try to take a good team to the next level. And all the expectations change. All the expectations change because this is a team that's going to be expected to win the Super Bowl next year. That's going to be the reality of the situation. Any other final thoughts? I got one more on the kicker, but here's just what I want to say. Cody Parkey gets paid a lot of money. He has a job to do. He did not do that job. He might not be here next year. Maybe shouldn't be here next year. I still think, and I hope everybody listens to this carefully, it's still sports.
Yes.
He's still a human being. And while it's a high-profile job and there is a lot of money in this business, it is the NFL, he's a human. And like any other job,
we all make mistakes.
Everybody makes mistakes. And you can boo, and he got booed off the field. And you can criticize, and you should say he should have made it, and you can feel crappy about it like I know he does. But don't cross the line.
Yeah.
Don't cross the line. Don't verbally attack his family.
I was going to say, leave his family alone.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. And don't and just don't even cross the line even going after him. It's still sports. So we work in the...
That's a great point, Adam.
We work in the toy house.
Look, even as much as we blame him for this loss, look, he's got to do his job. He's got to make 43-yard field goals. That's what he's paid to do.
No question.
We're still people. They're still people. Still, what's the saying? Still puts his pants on in the morning like you. Something like that. Got that wrong.
We got a possum update. He's still out there running around. I don't see him anymore.
No.
The possum has left the building. And we need to leave the building too. The Bears have until next year.
Yep. It's fun. Not the last podcast yet, though.
No, we're not done. I think it'll be Tuesday. But we don't know the schedule. If we know Matt Nagy and Ryan Pace. Ryan Pace will be talking publicly for the first time since coming on our podcast in August. Is that accurate?
I think that's true. Other than the Khalil Mack.
The Khalil Mack thing.
That big trade they made before the season.
So the first Ryan Pace press conference since the Khalil Mack trade.
Yeah.
Will happen at some point this week. We'll react to that too, but I think we'll have a podcast Tuesday either way. There will be locker room access tomorrow with players going home, exit interviews, that whole deal. So there'll be plenty to react to. There should be news on Vic Fangio. My guess is he'll be interviewing tomorrow. Although it looks like Mike Mularkey's like a favorite to take that Broncos job. At least that's what was being reported today.
It's all about the right situation for Vic.
All the right situation. All right. Wow. I did not expect to be doing a...
No. Everybody in Chicago picked the Bears.
Hey.
It reminds me. I got hotel rooms to cancel.
I know. I tried to do it earlier and Marriott wouldn't let me. It's like they were... like, you should go to L.A. anyway.
Come and do your podcast out here anyway.
Just go to L.A. anyway.
All right. Fine. I'm in.
We'll keep you posted on everything the rest of the week. When the podcast will be. We're not done, though. We've still got plenty of coverage to end this season. And it's been a fun ride either way. We appreciate all of you for listening all season long. I know you're in pain right now as you listen to this podcast. And not just because you're having to listen to us, but because of what happened on the field. We appreciate you all year long. So keep following us on Twitter. We're not going anywhere. At Adam Hoge, H-O-G-E. At Adam Johns, J-A-H-N-S. WGNRadio.com/Bears. ChicagoSunTimes.com. All our post-game coverage is up there. And again, please rate and review the podcast. Please subscribe. Please tell your friends about it. We'll be going at it all off-season once again. It's still fun covering football, and the Bears are going to be good for the foreseeable future.
Broken pipe up there? What is that? What is happening in Soldier Field?
There is something broken up there. What is going on here? The stadium is falling apart. Just like the season did. Amazingly, those goalposts are still standing, though.
Yes.
You think with all the abuse they took, they'd be down. But no. All right. We're out of here. Talk to you in a few days.